The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Well, as Denise said earlier in the service, welcome. It's good to have you here. And if you're in the chapel, we want to welcome you as well. It's grateful that you came today. It's a busy time of year, and yet you took an hour to show up and remember the light of the world. You know, I wondered in all the activity and busyness of what goes on at this time of year, if we don't sometimes forget the reason for the season or the actual day that it is. I walked into Tim Hortons this morning at 7 o'clock, and I went to order a coffee, and the girl couldn't come to the counter because she was on her phone taking orders. And when she finally, 5 minutes later, came to me, she said, "We got so many orders coming in, it's hard to do anything here." And I got my coffee and turned around, and there was a Santa Claus, a young man dressed as Santa Claus. And he was on, he didn't even have a coffee or anything, but he had his arms to the table, his head folded over, and he was just exhausted. And I thought, your day hasn't even started, and you're tired. Maybe you feel like that today. You know, you're just exhausted. It's that kind of day, and well, it's so easy to forget, isn't it, the reason for the season. You know, let me tell you a story. A few years ago, our oldest son got married in Chatham, Ontario. So we went down to the wedding, and it was a great day, and we had a great celebration. And then Ginny and I, and Ryan and Christine, our other two kids, we decided to take a bit more time. And so the following day, we were in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and we were doing some things and looking around, and we were having a lunch together. And then Ginny looked up and said, "Does anybody know what day this is?" And I said, "Sunday." Apparently, that was the wrong answer. She said, "It's my birthday." We'd all forgotten, you know? The best way to remember your wife's birthday is to forget it once. You'll never forget it again. But, you know, I don't want you to forget what day this is. We're celebrating the coming of the King, Jesus. And I'd like to tell you the real story behind Christmas. Maybe nobody's ever told you the real story behind Christmas. I'd like to take just a few minutes and tell you that story. It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful story. And it's a story about God coming down to our earth, and we celebrate that. To understand the story, you have to think about some of the things that were said about Jesus when he came, and then you have to think about one of the statements that he made after he came. So some of the things that were said about him, and then a statement made by him. I'd like to talk to you about that. One of the writers of the New Testament, a friend of Jesus named John, put it this way about Jesus coming. He said, "God became human and made his home among us." God became human and made his home among us. That's incredible. That's staggering when you think about it. God became human. The God that created all human beings became a human being. We're to understand Jesus as he's God in the flesh, or God with a face. He became a man. But before he became a man, he was a teenager. And before he was a teenager, he was a young boy. And before he was a young boy, he was a baby. And before he was a baby, he was a fetus in the womb. That's staggering when you think about it. The stable that day held something bigger than the whole universe. The one that spoke it all into being has become a man. The God that never sleeps, never closes his eyes, we're told, closed his eyes and slept in the arms of Mary. That's the first thing that you need to grapple with when you think about some of the things that are said about his coming. He's actually God coming to be one of us. And then I read another statement about Joseph, Mary's husband-to-be, and it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Joseph and said, "Make sure you call him Jesus, because it's a highly significant name. Jesus means he'll save his people from their sins." That means he came to be a savior. So it's proper to look at Jesus as God's rescue operation. Apparently, God thought we needed to be rescued. God thought that we needed to be rescued from ourselves, really, and sent Jesus to do it. That's why he came. You see, way back when God created men and women. He created us to live in relationship with him, but something went desperately wrong. And a great gap opened up between God and people. And in the middle of that is self or sin or me wanting to be God. And it separated us from God. And why God knew that if he was ever going to have relationship with the people he created again, he'd have to send somebody, Jesus, that would pay a debt we could never pay and bring us back to God, Savior. And then there's another statement made about him, which was Emmanuel. Call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, which is intriguing because I think what it means is if you're in relationship with this God, he's a God with you and for you, which literally means you never face anything alone again. You never face anything alone again. Those are some incredible truths that the writers of the second part of the Bible talk about, that this Jesus, he's God in the flesh. He's marked out by God to be a Savior. And he's going to be Emmanuel, God with us, through all the ups and downs and valleys and whatever of life. He's God with us. But then I wanted to draw your attention to one statement made by Jesus. In fact, you can see it on the wall to my left, your right. Jesus made this statement as a man. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's an enormously significant statement. Think about this. Jesus stands up in front of a bunch of people. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let me take a step back from that and give you the background. Where he made it was at a Jewish feast, celebration, holiday, if you like. And it took place in the temple court. So it was a large court during this celebration. And there were four massive candelabras in this courtyard. And at night, the candelabras had great bowls and they filled them with oil. And then they used rags as torches and they lit the things up. And it was an incredible light. And they tell you that it lit up a lot of Jerusalem, those four candelabras. And as they were being lit, the people would celebrate and sing and dance. It'd be a festival. And then Jesus got up and said, hey, I'm the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. Crazy. What did he mean? I think he meant something like this. These candelabras, that light will go out one day and the music will stop. But the light I give never flickers and never goes out. I'm the light that never goes out. If you want to bring it right into 2023, think downtown Red Deer, light the night, and you know, City Hall Park, and you're down there with your family and your kids and grandkids if you have, and the lights come on and the night gets lit with that beautiful display of lights at City Hall Park. It's beautiful. Imagine as those lights are being lit, the people are singing and there's Christmas music and all that, and Jesus comes and stands up and says, oh, by the way, I'm the light of the world. That's exactly what happened when he said it. And what he means is, you know what? Those are beautiful lights down there. But when the season ends, the lights are going to go out and the music will stop. But I'm the light that never goes out. I'm the light that never leaves. Whoever follows me, why, they'll never walk in darkness, but they'll actually have the light of life. I was intrigued by the metaphors that he used, darkness and light. Interesting. When you think it through, it's a massive claim. He's basically saying this, if you follow me, you'll have light. If you don't, you'll walk in darkness. It's a huge statement about the world. He's saying the world is a dark place. To walk in it without him is like walking in darkness. Now, I'm not telling you anything new. You can turn on the news or you know that's true. The world is a dark place, a broken place. And I wondered why he used those metaphors, and I thought about darkness, and darkness seems to suggest, I think it suggests the idea of we have no idea where we're going. We can't find our way. We don't know what the right choice is. Or darkness might suggest fear. I'm in the dark, and I'm afraid, and I'm uncertain about what's coming next. And maybe as the calendar turns into 2024, you're just uncertain about your health or your wealth or your family or where your world or our world is going, and it just, our hearts are filled with fear. That's the walk in darkness. I was fascinated when I read the story again this morning to realize that the first words from heaven to earth when Jesus was born are these words, "Do not be afraid." Very first words, "Do not be afraid." Isn't that cool? And then I thought, you know, darkness, it's maybe it symbolizes hopelessness. You know, people looking for hope anywhere, but there's no hope. Or people that were full of hope, but the hope is kind of draining out of them. To walk in darkness is to lose hope. It is to be fearful, and it's to really not know where you're going. But Jesus said the opposite of that is to follow him because he's light. And I thought about that metaphor, and I thought, what would that suggest? Probably a lot of things. But in my mind, I thought, well, light is the source of life, isn't it? You take light away and stuff dies. Jesus, and I thought of his statement where he said, "I've come to give you life and to give you life to the full." In another place, the most famous words in the Bible were these, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that if anybody believes in him, they wouldn't perish, but have," get this, "eternal life." Jesus came to give life now and life forever. That's what light means. When I played with it a bit more, I thought of the word truth, because Jesus said, "I'm the truth." You know, when the light goes on, you can't hide. It just is what it is. Everything is exposed for what it is when the light goes on. You can't hide from the light. You can't hide from God. And when Jesus walks into your life, it's like the lights go on and all the bad stuff is exposed. The sin, the selfish motives, all the stuff, the ugly stuff on the inside, it just gets exposed because the light has come. Now, I can fool you. You can think I'm a pretty good guy because some people call me pastor. And once in a while, I put a jacket on and look like it. And you might see me walk in with my wife and I might hold her hand. Man, that guy's got a great marriage too. But you have no idea what goes on in the inside because I get caught living inside the outside image of myself. And when the light comes on, it's just all there. He exposes the darkness. Why? Not to condemn us, but to heal us. That's why he came. To die on a cross, to take all of my punishment for my sin on himself as my substitute. And by believing in him, God takes that darkness away and heals it actually. Life, truth, I thought of the word joy. I mean, when the sun comes out, it's a good day. I spent half my life in North Vancouver. When the sun comes out, it's a good day there. You live in the clouds most of the time, and it is joy. You get to go to the beach, you get to go skiing, you do whatever you want. It's like the sun's out, and there's a sense of joy, and I think Jesus meant that when he said, "I'm the light of the world." If you want real joy, you want real joy, then, hey, I got it. I can give it to you like you've never had before. I told my friends this a few weeks ago here at church, but a number of years ago, we were in Mallorca, which is an island off Spain with a bunch of people, and we were doing there, and on an off day, we went down to some caves, underground caves. If you're ever in Mallorca, you should check this out. And we went in there, and we got way down in the heart of the earth, and we're down there, and they told us just to stand there for a minute, and they turned off all the lights. But man, it was darkness you could feel. You couldn't see your hand there. I mean, it was scary. I would never want to experience that kind of darkness again. You didn't know if someone was beside you or not or where they were, and you couldn't take a step because you had no idea where you would be going. Darkness that could be felt. And we just stood in it. And then all of a sudden, way off in the distance, there was this faint sound of music. It was actually classical music. And it was, where's that coming from? They got a little bit louder, and then there was a little bit of light and music. And it got closer and closer, and then there was more of it, and we realized that we were standing on the edge of a river, an underground river, and these rowboats were coming down, and they had somebody from the symphony in the back playing classical music. It was absolutely amazing. music, light in the darkness. And I thought, that's what Jesus does. If the song's gone out of your life, it's all dark, he can put it back in. That's who he is. He's the light of the world. Then you have this great promise. I'm the light of the world. Here's the promise. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me, Jesus said, will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So the question becomes, what does it mean to follow Jesus? That's the question. The answer is twofold. It means to believe in him. What that means is to believe that he is who he said he is. God in the flesh. That he did what he said he came to do. Pay our debt. Believe that. That's what it means. He's either completely crazy, or he's a liar, or he is who he said he is. It's one of the three. He's crazy, he is who he says he is, or he's a liar. You got to choose one. I've chosen to believe that he is who he said he is and to believe him, but that's not enough. It's like believing that if you went down to Calgary and got an airplane, it would take you to Hawaii, but believing it doesn't get you there. It requires an act of trust. That's the second part of follow, is to believe in him and to trust yourself to him. It's just say, I'm going to stop following myself and my best thinking. Everybody, I'm going to trust myself to this Jesus, and I'll learn everything I can about him, and I'll follow him. I'll put it into practice. That's what it means to follow, to believe and to trust. You might be here today and you say, I got a good life. Man, things are good. But I just have a sense there should be more. It's got to be something more. It's good, but it's got to be something more. You know, I love NFL football. And that's the trouble with doing church on Sunday afternoon. But I used to think I was a New England Patriots fan. Then they moved Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, and I realized I was a Tom Brady fan. And I said that one day here. Some guy comes in with a Tom Brady jersey signed for me one day. Then my grandson took it, and I have no idea where it is. My whole retirement plan gone, somewhere out near Alex. But, you know, I remember Tom Brady saying a few years ago, he said, I got 7 Super Bowl rings. That's amazing. This is when he was still married. I got a supermodel wife. That's cool. I got all the money I'll ever need. But I feel like there's got to be something more. An intriguing statement? Got to be something more. Maybe that's you. Can I encourage you to start today following Jesus, because he's the more that fills all the empty places of a person's heart? Maybe for some others, it's very different. It's not good. Maybe it's not good for you today. You've gone through loss. Maybe it's a marriage breakup, or somebody died, or it's not good. You know, I read an article this week, or I heard a story about the Mars rover that was on Mars from 2004 to 2018. They called it Opportunity. And near the end of its journey up there, it beamed a message back to NASA, which was this: my battery is low and it's getting dark. My battery is low. It's getting dark. Maybe that's you. Maybe your battery's low and it's getting dark. Can I encourage you to put your trust in Jesus, who said, I'm the light. I can give life back to you. I can put hope back into you. Or maybe you're just full of fear. Sometimes it's hard to even know why. We're just fearful of fear. Can I encourage you today to remember that Jesus' other name is Emmanuel, God with us? It doesn't mean it'll get better following Jesus physically or in any other way, but what it does mean is he will always be there with you and for you. He'll never leave you, never reject you. Some of us have had big rejections. He says, I won't, and he makes a covenant promise to us that he won't do that. You know, you say, well, how does this start, this following deal? Jesus is a real person and you're a real person, so it's like any other two people. It's dealing personally with them. speaking to him. Sometimes we call that prayer. And I asked Pastor Denise if she would put a little prayer together, and I want to show it to you on the screen because it's a good way to begin to engage personally with Jesus. And I'm going to end by just praying this prayer. And if it expresses something in your heart today, or there's a longing in your heart to begin to follow Jesus to light today, then just in your heart, pray it as I pray it out loud. And when I say amen, in your heart or out loud, say amen. I know that if you do and you mean it, he'll forgive you. I know that because he said this. I just want to share with you what he said. He said, it's God the Father's will that all who look to his Son, that's Jesus, and believe in him should have eternal life. It's God's will that everybody that looks to Jesus and believes in him has eternal life. So on the Lord's own word, I know he'll receive you graciously if this expresses the prayer in your heart. And so what we're going to do is I'll pray it, and then the group will come back out, and we'll sing one more song. I'll come back up, close us in prayer. But if you've prayed it today for the very first time and mean it, I'd love to meet you up here right after. And I know in the chapel, Pastor Jordan, he'll be at the front of the chapel. He'd love to meet you there. And we just want to share a couple thoughts with you, give you something that might help you go forward in your walk with Jesus. But your friends will wait. They got this coffee and there's dancing Santas or whatever out there. I don't know what they got out there, but lots of stuff. And they'll wait for you out there, and we'll just take a moment to talk up here. So if you pray this prayer for the first time, we'd love to meet you and shake your hand. Let me pray. Jesus, today, I recognize that I'm lost in the darkness without you. I confess that my sin has separated me from you, and I cannot fix that on my own. Thank you for coming into the world to live and die for me. I put my full trust in your victory over sin and death on the cross. And I submit to you as Lord and King in my life. Thank you for bringing light to my darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.